This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
Because Putin knows if I am president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. I'm going to stand up to him. He's a bully, just like the president. And I know he doesn't want me to be president, but to tell you what, when I'm president, things are going to change.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Would you come my way?
The fake news said my personality would get us into a war. I'm telling you, that guy's going to get us into a war. But actually, my personality is what kept us out of war. I was the only president in nearly four decades who did not get America into any new conflicts. Instead, I brought our troops and our wonderful children back home. I brought them back home where they belong.
Honesty, decency, hope, leaving nobody behind.
Yeah. Again, as Republicans, we can disagree on foreign policy. I would say that was my biggest disagreement with George W. Bush administration. But it's foreign policy that determines if American blood is spilled. And you think how many dads and brothers and sons and moms and daughters who'd be alive today if George W.'s foreign policy wasn't what it turned out to be. Now, Trump was solid from day one on his foreign policy. He didn't waver. He was like Teddy Roosevelt, man. He walked loud and carried a big stick. Oh, that was a walk softly and carry a big stick. But Trump walked loud and carried a big stick. Neither Theodore Roosevelt or Donald Trump walked softly. But 2 days ago, I read you Trump and DeSantis' response to Tucker Carlson. He sent out some questions to all the Republican candidates on Ukraine and foreign policy. And I really did like, and I read it, and I gave them both credit. I liked what Ron and Don had to say, two candidates that I agreed on their foreign policy. And DeSantis took hits from some of the, I'll just say, neocon-flavored Republicans of 2023, but both men laid out their foreign policy. And see, the difference is Trump proved it over 4 years. DeSantis is making campaign promises. Keep all that in mind, what was been proven and what's a promise. Now, of course, DeSantis hadn't even had the opportunity to prove foreign policy because he's never been president. But I liked what he had to say, and I like what Trump had to say. And they were both almost identical when it came to Ukraine. Now, here's what happened. DeSantis walked it back on the Piers Morgan interview. You know, Piers Morgan, he's a pro-NATO voice hawk out there, and they use his megaphone. Now, DeSantis now says his former position on Ukraine has been mischaracterized and Putin is a war criminal. So DeSantis already walking back foreign policy, and he hadn't even had an opportunity to even to implement. He said he walked back, but I don't want a politician that, you know, tests with the polls. That's probably what happened. That's exactly what happened, I can guarantee you, because when you turn around something that one day you believe in, then the next day you walk it back, the reversing comments on Putin and Ukraine, he now says Russia was wrong to invade Ukraine, was wrong to invade and take over in 2014 in Crimea, and won't win the war, and he's made his strongest attack, called him a loser, basically a gas station with a bunch of nuclear weapons. He made a statement to Tucker Carlson, and this is what I applauded him for, because it was right along with what Trump was saying. He said that it's not in our vital natural interest to become, quote, further entangled in a territorial dispute between Ukraine and Russia. And, of course, you had the Senator Lindsey Grahams and the Senator Marco Rubios attacking him over that, because, see, they're the war hawks in there. Now, who did the – remember I said it's who's backing, and I don't always mean financially as well. And if it turns out to be a Trump versus DeSantis choice for the Republican voters out there, I'm going to follow the truth. I'm not following a person. I'm going to follow the truth. And the candidate that comes closest to the truth for what I find to be important, that's who's going to get my vote. And who backs him? Well, we now, some things are coming out about the DeSantis campaign, and I thought it would be fair to let you know. They've hired Jeff Rowe. Who's Jeff Rowe? Well, any political group that would hire this guy. He ran Ted Cruz's campaign, and nobody knew this guy's name until he actually told all the people in Iowa on the night before the primary that Dr. Ben Carson dropped out of the race. Do you remember when that happened? All those rumors spread before Iowa that Ben Carson. Why would he drop out before Iowa? But all that time, you know, it was so weird, right? This Jeff Rowe guy, he created the lie. That's the guy that created the lie. And it caused Ben Carson caucus supporters switch candidate on election day to support Ted Cruz. They went from Ben Carson to Ted Cruz because even in the age of constant contact with these cell phones in our pockets, not everybody found out that it wasn't true. And Jeff Rowe created that lie. Then he tried to deny it. But that's the guy that's been hired by DeSantis' team. But he changed his stance. DeSantis changed his stance. He said he's Putin's now a war criminal and he should be held accountable. And you have your never Trumpers. Remember the Congressman Adam Kinzinger who didn't get. I think he got redistricted and he knew that he didn't decide to run again or something. But he always has hated Trump, a Republican that hated Trump. When DeSantis gave his foreign policy, you know, he went out there and went around all the media talking about, oh, look at DeSantis. He's in with the crazies, right? They even opened up the crypt and Liz Cheney crawled out. How can I attack somebody? She went after DeSantis and said, you forgot the lessons of Ronald Reagan. So during this interview with Piers Morgan, he changed it up. And I didn't like that because just a few days ago, MSN.com actually said, this is before he changed his view, Ron DeSantis is right about Ukraine. They actually agreed with him, right? Washington Post columnist George Will, who they say is, quote, a Republican, they said about DeSantis' view that was in line with Trump over our foreign policy in Ukraine. Washington Post said if that's his settled view after the dust settles and he elaborates on this, then he's not fit to be president, period. And I know that we're supposed to allow everybody to have their own beliefs on foreign policy, but I'm sorry. Anybody that says we need to send altogether it was in the like $190 billion right now. That's insane. And if you can't see the strings that they're pulling that gets us even closer to war, I don't want war. Now, if we have to defend the United States of America because we're under attack, that's totally different. If there's actually a foreign hotspot that needs the U.S. military help, I understand sometimes you have to do that. But no, not what they're doing. This is ludicrous. They're trying to create more. They're trying to play games with NATO and now you got Putin telling President Xi of China he's open to negotiation process on Ukraine, and the U.S. says the ceasefire is, quote, unacceptable. They want it to go on. White House spokesperson John Kirby declared that any call for a ceasefire in Ukraine is unacceptable. The Polish ambassador to France 3 days ago, said, quote, either Ukraine will defend its independence today or will be forced to enter into this conflict, meaning NATO will enter the war. He kind of said the quiet part out loud. And don't think that it couldn't turn into this. I'm sure there were people right before World War One that said, oh, Ferdinand got shot? Oh, well, that's a headline story. That'll probably be off the pages the next day. Not realizing that in the United States here, that in a matter of years, their next-door neighbor who was 16 years old is suddenly going to be 18, 19, and over there, being gassed in a trench, right? It happened. It can happen before you know it, right? America was not wanting to get into the foreign entanglement of World War II. And then what happened? Pearl Harbor. And there was World War. So don't think just because it hadn't happened since 1941 that it can't happen again. I think the history of the world tells us it's going to keep happening. It's just a matter of time, right? But now talking about NATO, and we'll be forced to enter this conflict here. NATO wants to put 300,000 troops on Russia's border, and they're trying to act like they, trying to pretend like they don't want to expand this. So when you talk about Republicans and they can disagree on foreign policy, and yeah, we can disagree on foreign policy, but I will fight you tooth and nail over this foreign policy aspect of this. This is reckless. This is detrimental to everybody's lives in the United States. There is no upside to it. And if you do your own research, please do. Go back and look at the corruption in Ukraine starting in 2014. Look into the Biden administration when he was vice president, the point man put on charge. Look at Hunter Biden over there sitting around a boardroom, probably teleconferenced in for some hookers in Taiwan, but he was on the board, right? Hey, it's me, Hunter. Here, I'm here on video, right? Making $80,000 a month. And now we know about the payments that are coming back. And then suddenly, the former vice president that now is even looking more corrupt than we even knew while he was vice president was the point man in Ukraine. Ukraine is corrupt. He's corrupt. And we're sending upwards of what, the $190 billion with a B over. Senator Rand Paul said, okay, any of this money is going over, we're gonna look this over with a fine tooth comb, and it's gonna be audited, and we're gonna know where it's spent. No, you're not. That was all shut down. No, that's not gonna happen. Not at all. So when you say, well, I think your views on foreign policy are not Ronald Reagan enough, you know what? Pound sand. Pull your head out. Reagan would never have agreed to this. I don't think. I can't obviously speak for the man, but I don't see that. I don't see that happening. I think he would know the chessboard a whole lot better. And when you got Putin and Xi, I played you the little audio, the translator yesterday as they were leaving the hotel, right, talking about world domination. This is, and what's the Biden White House doing? Oh, the Biden and the First Lady, after that fiasco press conference, they were at the same time, they were meeting with the Ted Lasso TV show, the Apple Plus TV show Ted Lasso, because they're so in touch with the youth, right? You know, soccer, man. That's what they're playing, right? The actors even invited a reporter from the show to ask questions in their characters when they were inside the White House. But that's what's going on while this is happening around the world. Well, we do know that it's Marxism at hand. Yeah, these are leftist commies, man. How do you destroy capitalism? How do you destroy the constitutional republic called the United States of America? Well, it's pretty easy.
I said it once at the State of the Union address, and people didn't understand what I was saying. But I'd shout it out loud, and I was right, because that train has passed the station long ago of socialism. It never even came close to stopping, frankly. We're now in a Marxism state of mind, a communism state of mind.
I thought he's supposed to be locked up by now. Well, there was a major decision in the DA's office, Manhattan. I'll tell you about it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Can't believe this formation of Tulare Lake. We had CEO of the Fresno County Farm Bureau, Ryan Jacobson. He was in at 4 o'clock. He stayed in for an hour with us. Appreciate his time. Podcast available at powertalk967.com. All the money, Chinese money, going to the Biden syndicate, right? What did Jean Pierre have to say from the White House podium? Ducey for Fox News asked.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here. Look, we have heard from House Republicans for years and years and years how the inaccuracies and lies when it comes to this issue. And I don't even know where to begin to even answer that question, because again, it's been lies and lies and inaccuracy for the past couple of years, and I'm just not going to get into it from here.
Well, why don't you begin by answering the question? If you don't know where to begin, the best place should be starting answering his question. That I know Jen Psaki had the what did they say at the I'll circle back with you, right? She just doesn't even say that. She just doesn't answer. I just can't speak for that to that from this position. Well, that's kind of your position to speak about things like that. Here's a new one, right? I love watching on YouTube the guys that bust the scammers from India and Pakistan, a lot of where they're mostly from, and he gets them irate. It's hilarious to watch. But anyhow, this is a new, different kind of scam. You won't fall for the email from the prince or king from Nigeria or somewhere that needs you to say, remember when the internet started, all that started? I think it got the city of Fresno. But this is one that you would totally, I would believe this. Even me, I would not be fooled by it. They're talking about scammers posing as food delivery workers, like and looking like DoorDash and looking like Amazon, identical, like... they're issuing a warning about their posting out there. They're breaking into homes. They said in Texas, a group of four men were wearing hoodies, all tried to get into a home from the backyard, all while the homeowner was inside with her nephew. And the video shows a woman knocking on the front door of the house. "Hi, I'm from DoorDash. DoorDash. DoorDash." Said she stayed out there for 20 minutes saying, "I'm with DoorDash." And the cameras, they didn't get in the house, but her camera showed four guys in the backyard trying to get in while the DoorDash girl was up front to distract the homeowner in the middle of the night. And she said, "I didn't open the door, fortunately, and the men weren't able to get in." Here in California, surveillance video caught a man approaching a home appearing to make an Amazon delivery. He seemed wearing the vest with the package in his hand. He knocked. Nobody answered the door. And then three accomplices ran from a nearby car, used a crowbar to break in, stole jewelry and other valuables. So they're acting like Amazon to go up. And, you know, what neighbor would be like, "Oh, it's an Amazon guy with a package. I don't need to keep staring at that house, I guess," right? Ding dong, knock, knock, ding dong, knock, 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 knock. Nobody comes to the door, signal sent, bam, in. I mean, literally looked like an Amazon driver. And, you know, you think about the older folks out there that would open the door. This is just, Amazon said a driver will never ask to come into your home unless you've prearranged help for something heavy as well. And DoorDash said, no, they're not going to come in your into your house as well. So isn't that just disgusting that we live in that world now where even that now you gotta worry about... All right, major decision here in the New York DA office. Only artificial intelligence has been the only thing to create an arrest of former President Trump. I don't know if you saw any of those pictures going around, but, man, you could all – whoever created those, and I don't know how artificial intelligence – I mean, we say that. Artificial intelligence created it. I don't even have the intelligence to even explain how artificial intelligence would create something like that. I know what Photoshop is, but boy, that looks so real. You know, it had Trump running for the NYPD in the middle of the street with three, four cops behind him. They had a slew of them out there, but they literally look real.
Sources familiar telling me that there is a, quote, major dissension within District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office about this case. Bragg's office suddenly canceled grand jury proceedings yesterday. Jurors were supposed to hear testimony from at least one more witness. Now, one source also says the DA is having, quote, trouble convincing the grand jury on potential charges due to the weakness of the case. Trump posting on Truth Social yesterday saying, quote, "Every article I read, every show I watch, even the so-called haters say that President Trump did nothing wrong. There is no crime here. The crime would be if I get charged."
All right. Well, the Republicans in the House try to get that DA from Manhattan to to come in and lay out what his charges are.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office is making it clear that Bragg is not going to hand over documents or testify to the Republican-led House Judiciary Committee, but they are willing to sit down with committee staff to see what, if any, information can be shared with the House Judiciary Committee. Now, in a letter to Republican Committee Chair Jim Jordan, Bragg's general counsel called the committee's request unconstitutional and a, quote, unlawful incursion into New York's sovereignty. Bragg's office also called Jordan's allegation that New York State's investigation into Trump is politically motivated, quote, unfounded.
But when Joe's president, hope is everywhere.
It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Troubles flowing, life will easy flow.
Like a Chinese spy balloon.
Joe will keep us safe. That's all we need to know.
Fewer than 4 out of every 10 Americans like President Biden or have a positive opinion of him. Those are the findings of the latest Associated Press National Opinion Research Center poll. The president's 38% approval rating is a dip compared to the last numbers published by the pollsters in February, which showed his approval rating at 45%. The drop in the president's job performance rating comes as the war in Ukraine continues. The prices of food, fuel, and goods remain inflated. New revelations about his family's dealings and as China and Russia appear to be cooperating against U.S. economic interests.
I've never been more optimistic. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. My word is a Biden. I've never been more optimistic.
Well, it's finally come out here right from the mouth of Tucker Carlson himself. He talked about what happened between himself and Trump after the text messages were out that he didn't like him. He talked to Bo Snerdly. I'll tell you what he said next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
For $6.
Power Talk.
Welcome back. Hey, Tucker Carlson finally came out and talked about what. Remember, I was like, man, how can you be that fake? What is how that really let me down? I couldn't believe nobody else was talking about this. But Bo Snerdly on his show had Tucker Carlson on. And remember, Carlson hates Trump, quote, with a passion. And all this came out because of text messages as part of a lawsuit by the Dominion voting system against Fox. And Tucker was seen complaining about Trump, but I'll just read you what he said again. He said, these are the text messages. We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait. I hate him passionately. Trump's presidency was a disaster. And that's the last 4 years. We're all pretending we got a lot to show for it because admitting what a disaster it is. It's too tough to digest, but come on, there really isn't an upside to Trump. Now, that's a dude that's not too hot on somebody, wouldn't you say? And Tucker talked about his invasion of privacy is outrageous and all that, but he said, tried to come back and explain it to Bo Snerdly. He said, quote, I love Trump as a person. He added that his words in the text were just an overly passionate reaction to some bad info he'd been given by an incompetent Trump staffer after the election. Well, I guess that would be, I don't know the temperament. You know, you see the man for an hour on TV. You don't know my, you hear me on the radio. You don't know my temperament when I'm in my living room. We don't know what, but I would think that if a staffer for Trump had given him bad news, that you would be mad at the staffer, I would think. I don't think getting bad information from a staffer would lead one to hate somebody passionately, say there's nothing, their administration's been a disaster, too tough to digest, there's really is not even an upside to Trump. Wouldn't that be an overreaction to a staffer that gave you bad information? Yeah, that would. So if you're that big of an overreactor, for some reason I'm not believing that explanation that led to his messages blasting Trump like that. So Snerdly flat out asked him if he hates the president. He said, let's see. I spent 4 years defending his policies, and I'm going to defend him again tonight. Actually, Tucker said, I love Trump like as a person. I think Trump is funny and insightful. And I said this to Trump when he called me all wounded about those texts. So Trump called him and he was wounded. Isn't that something that Trump used the word wounded when I said his comments about pro-life Republicans ruining the midterms hurt me? Trump, when you get wounded, you get hurt. It's a different word. He wasn't irate. He wasn't livid. He wasn't spitting spittle with swear words. He said he called him, and Trump said he was wounded, or at least that's how Tucker described it. And he went on to try and explain this. He said, here's another quote, that was the moment in time when I was absolutely infuriated. Those particular texts were pulled at the moment when I was texting my producers because some idiot on the Trump campaign had sent us the names of these dead voters who had voted, and we went and I repeated them on the air, and it turns out some of them were alive, so I felt humiliated. That doesn't teeter-totter out correctly. And you put that on the old scale, that doesn't balance out to me. He went on and said, and I thought then, and I think now, the election was not on the level. It was not a free and fair election. I thought that then, and I think it now. And so I was trying to. I wanted evidence. Anyway, whatever. I was mad. Well, I don't know. Will we ever know? Will we ever know? Digital World Acquisition Corporation. Never heard of them. They're a blank check company. And Axios reporting here that they're seeking to buy Trump's Truth Social parent company, TMTG. Disclosed that it had fired the chairman and CEO, Patrick Orlando, of Digital World Acquisition Corporation. Don't know why that happened, but they were looking into buying this. And that guy that got fired was the, Axios says here, was the merger's most vocal cheerleader. So I don't know if that means that now they might not be happening with the Truth Social parent company, TMTG. I wonder what that would mean for former Congressman Nunes if the company got sold. I know he probably, oh, not probably, I'll even say that congressional paycheck got a couple zeros behind it there with the move to go run Trump's organization there. But they've had some issues. Trump Social has. Trump Social. True. See, just the name, it's so hard to remember the name right. It's not, I don't know, did they focus group that? Truth Social. But you, what do you send out on Truth Social? A post, I guess. A post on Truth Social. As well, the impending election that coming up, well, is it, it's be here before we know it. But you know how hard the fake news media was out there, the swamp media, those Marxist, communist, leftists that get out there and try and just, they're not journalists at all. And they don't all have to, they can have opinion shows, but say your opinion show. They now, opinions have just blurred. The lines are completely blurred. But there once was a time in America, way back in, 2017, 2018 maybe, when most of society, Democrats, Republicans, Libertarian, Vegetarians, all pretty much were in agreement that we don't put raunchy, nasty, sexual stuff around children. And that was just a given in society. It's not anymore. You actually stand up and stop that, and the media will turn on you. And I feel bad for their souls, man. People that back this stuff, what you do unto the least of those, you do unto me. I think the scriptures, I paraphrase the old scripture here, but better to have a millstone around your neck and thrown into a lake or something than what's the right word here? I'm trying to quote scripture live on the air. Your punishment, that'd be for those that inflict any harm on children. Whew, boy, it took me a minute and a half to get that out, didn't it? Let's flash over to the media. They're better at talking right now than I am.
Ron DeSantis has become a real champion for conservative cultural concerns. And now, as the Florida governor barrels towards an expected run for the White House, he is leaning even more into these hot button issues, now looking to build upon one of his most controversial moves.
The Parental Rights in Education Act, which critics call the Don't Say Gay bill, currently applies to grades K through third. DeSantis now wants to apply it through high school.
Remember talking about that? Like, well, why stop at third? Well, he got his foot in the door. And then he's building upon that.
In a surprise announcement, his administration proposing that for grades 4 through 12, instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity is prohibited unless such instruction is either expressly required by state academic standards or is part of a reproductive health course, which parents can opt out of.
And he's the bad guy. Amazing that society turned this quickly. This fast.
The White House calling it part of a disturbing and dangerous trend of laws targeting the LGBTQ community. DeSantis has built a brand on cultural divisions, supporting limitations on gender-affirming care for transgender youth, restrictions on drag performances, and has banned transgender athletes from playing girls and women's sports.
I want a divorce. I want a divorce from this. I don't want to be tied to this anymore. I use the word divorce because Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia mentioned a national divorce. We're pretty close to it. I don't see anything getting worked out in mediation. Do you guys? Jacoby and Myers, right? Men, don't leave the house. Democrats are behaving in nasty ways. They really are here. And, I mean, it's not how it used to be. I mean, I worked at a record label in New York in the mid to late 90s, and they're surrounded by Democrats. And my boss was a big-time Bill Clinton. He didn't do anything wrong with Monica, right? We would have conversations, but we found out it worked. It was never an issue or problem. It didn't even feel like we're living in the same country anymore. That's how I feel about this. I don't think a lot of this is going to work out for the Democrats the way they think that it actually will, right? And there's a lot of conservatives across America fully aware now, more so than ever, how this government actually used propaganda, because you saw the mess that they now got us into, right? But when you go across America now between Democrats and Republicans, we barely speak the same language anymore. So, no, I never wanted to live in a country that was going to go through a divorce. It's never pretty, but man, I can't go along with this. That you're being reckless and dangerous when you tell children, or when you tell not the children, when you tell the grown-ups to put their pants back on around kids. You're the bad guy for telling performers that no, put some clothes on and stop doing that around kids. I don't know where the blurring line of calling the police and the police hearing what was happening and arresting the people happened. When did we take out our national number two pencil and with the eraser erase that happening? Because that used to be what happened. Seen it go down and crack open a Coors Light in Talladega. Saturday night through Tuesday of next week. I guess we don't have a whole lot of clouds, but we can see all five planets at once. Five planets. I'll tell you what planets and where to look up. I'll tell you next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I don't know, about a month ago we're walking out. Was that Venus and Jupiter that we saw? Yeah, you could see it in the sky. It literally looked like a big old 747 with its bright lights coming in. That's what Squires thought it was. I immediately thought they were unidentified flying objects from a foreign galaxy somewhere. And then we realized later on what they were. Two planets. KMPH.com said, rare chance to see five planets at once, and it's going to take place over six sunsets. Now, depending on the cloud coverage and all that, but you can see these. It's going to happen for the next several days next week. Five planets, Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Uranus, and Mars, forming a semicircle in the sky. And the moon's even going to jump in there and dance with them. So to see Jupiter and Mercury, you get to a dark place away from city lights, they say, before sunset. Look to the west, clear view the horizon, and you try and get away from the buildings and anything that might block. Then shortly after the sun goes right below the horizon, if you look real low in the horizon, you can spot Jupiter and Mercury. This is next week. There's, or starting Saturday, but there's not going to be a lot of time. It's not even going to last for an hour. They at the office, they say. So, easiest to see, it's the third brightest. Venus will be after the sun and moon. It'll be located right above Jupiter. Venus will be. Mars will be, they say, a little bit fainter, but you can still see it with the naked eye. It'll be near the moon. The hardest planet to see will be Uranus, and most people will need binoculars or a telescope to see that. Parade of planets will last almost a week, and they're making their debut on Saturday. And best opportunity to see them will be next Tuesday, and the show will end on Thursday, March 30th. And you're going, when did this happen? Well, it's not a record. It happened in 2016. 2020 happened again last year. How did this get by me that five planets are out there to see? I like looking up at stuff like that. We'll have to get out there. And well, the first night's Saturday, so we won't be here. There were some strange lights above the Northern California sky last week on Friday night. They were streaking across. One video from above Vallejo showed it. And it was put up on Twitter, spot about 9:30. Another video about 25 miles northeast in Vacaville showed four distinct lights. And they're saying they weren't comets, but they kind of looked like comets, kind of had a trail going through the sky. And everybody was like, oh, my, what is happening here, right? Well, according to the astronomer that the New York Post talked to after they saw these videos, Jonathan McDowell said the lights that people saw were space junk. He said the space junk was object 45265, which had been orbiting the Earth as junk for the last 3 years. It burned out and it created that. So they can, you know what, anytime somebody sees something weird or something, they can always come back with, well, that was likely object 45265, and that's likely. They say likely, and then they put a name to it, a number, 45265, and you put astronomer in front of the person that's saying it. All right, case closed. All right, there you go. Keep moving on. Nothing to see here in Hawaii. I'm telling you, there's still something to, and this is going to be now the fourth time I talked about this. That still frame that they got in Hawaii, it was only for a few seconds. And I'll probably have to talk more about this tomorrow, but it was the Chinese, and they had these green lasers, and they were fired from satellites. And they said they were, for weather, right? Done a little bit more looking into this about what China has are these hypersonic missiles that they have. And they're not, like, targeted, and they're cheaper to make because they just launch them. They get the wind conditions and basically like a glider. And they're cheaper to make, and they're making them like crazy over there. So to know weather conditions for a hypersonic missile attack on Hawaii, right, they would do something like this. And at first they said, oh, it's coming from a NASA satellite. But they actually found out, no, it was, quote, a Chinese pollution monitoring satellite. The Chinese don't care about pollution. Come on. And they're flying balloons over the U.S.? And we're saying, well, it was a spy thing. Well, I guess they're getting weather, right? That's one thing that I figured out with this. And we will talk more about it tomorrow. Hypersonic missiles. Look them up. How many of the Chinese are actually putting together, right? They call them carrier killers. Navy carrier killers. But they got to monitor the atmosphere and the wind directions and all of that. So that might be the reason why. We'll talk more about it on the show tomorrow, Friday. I can't believe it's already Friday tomorrow, man. Thanks to A's and Squires, God willing. We'll be back tomorrow and do it at 3 o'clock. John Girardi's coming up. Hey, please enjoy your Thursday night.